happening?
At the studio. Why, do I sound different?
No, it just wasn't noisy.
Yeah, well, it's cooler today, and nobody's in here.
Oh. That would make sense for why it doesn't sound so noisy. Well, on that note, welcome to week 713 of the Crankcast. 713. That's weeks.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of weeks.
How you doing? Been busy, hasn't it?
Yeah, got real busy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a rush job dropped on me at the end of last week, and it's a first issue of a thing. I don't know how much I can talk about it because I don't know if it's been announced yet or not. But
I'm sure you can talk about it. Nobody will be mad at you.
I just don't know.
Just tell us.
Anyway, it's a book.
Leave it out. Tell us.
It's a book. But yeah, you know, and it's a first issue, and I mean, there's always hiccups and headaches in first issues anyway. Just trying to get things nailed right.
Jeez, man.
But yeah, anyway, so it got busy.
Yeah, man. I'm all stressed out about the books now, just because I'm just like, I don't know. Got a lot of it done, but still.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess we should say, yeah, it's official, like, Battle Pugs in previews.
Well, it will be next month, but
it's in next month's previews, but we got copy, whatever.
There's just stuff I'm fixing, because, I mean, I started this 2 years ago. Off and on, been working on it, and
yeah,
characters have changed, and personality motivations have changed, and
well, and there was a big gap between even like, well, how much of it did you have written 2 years ago? I know we did the first issue 2 years ago.
I had the whole outline done 2 years ago,
but like you didn't actually have it scripted for two or three, but then
no.
Right?
No.
Okay, so there's like a big gap between the script for one and the script for two.
Oh, yeah. But even like this issue I'm working on now, there's like part of it where I'm like, well, this would be funnier if this was like that. And I'm like, well, now I've got to redraw a character on certain pages. And
yeah, that's...
I'm tired of, you know, making others work because I think something's funny, but...
In the end, you gotta do what you gotta do, man.
I know. Also, it means killing a character, and I don't. Even though it's not, it sounds worse than it is. It's just a character I just made up. But it'd be funny if they just, you see him in one panel, and the next panel, he's just dead. And I just thought that would be funny. But I don't know. Some people might think that's kind of gross. I don't know. It's my comic. I'll do what I want. I don't know. I'm full of self-doubt. I'm full of self-doubt.
I know. Every other sentence is contradicting the one before it.
And nobody's going to buy our comics. I mean, I don't want to. I'm trying to, you know, forget that.
Don't go there, dude.
I'm trying not to be the Mr. Downer guy.
Yeah.
But you know, people are like that now. People don't buy comics as much anymore. It's kind of a truthful thing.
I don't think it's untrue. I mean, obviously somebody's still buying comics because, what was it, there was something in...
Yeah, just I just wish over. I knew what the secret was, because, I mean, I know people like the comic, and I know people do buy the comic, but...
Oh, that was a DC book when it went over like 100,000 something copies.
Yeah, but not enough people buy.
Of course, you know, I mean, that's half of that's probably speculators, and not speculators, but people buying like multiple copies to... pristine bag them or whatever, you know. I mean, I don't even know. You used to be able to find some sort of stats on, like, guesses at what the actual readership numbers were, I think.
There's still, like, sales sites that are fairly accurate, but...
Because, I mean, as far as, like...
Nobody knows how to do this right. Otherwise, everybody would do it.
I think it would be in everybody's best interest for, like, a lot of this information to be a lot more public than it is, but, like, we have... And maybe this has changed, but it used to be like, you know, the only person that I actually knew had a, like a complete list of all the comic shops in the country were was Diamond, and Diamond wasn't giving it up, you know?
Yeah.
Which, or maybe one of the other distributors did
you
too.
You can't really keep that kind of info hidden these days.
But it's like, I mean, because we're down to like under 1,500 physical shops, I think. Last time I looked.
That's because of SJWs.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard this, but if you get woke, you go broke.
Right, okay. It rhymes, so it must be true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so, you know, if the glove won't fit, then you must have quit.
That's true, yeah. And it's true. It's very true.
Yeah. So
we have to, basically, we have to,
Firebomb them all?
What?
Oh.
Whoa!
Sorry.
You went somewhere really weird.
We have to, and I don't even know. Like, I mean, because then, and it's it, that used to be, you know, most of the story was the physical shops, right? But I mean, now we've got so much online sellers. Not just the big players, but there's a ton of places to buy comics now online.
Sure. Well, there are always mail order places in the first place. I mean, that's not a surprising thing.
Right, but I'm saying like there's even more than like. Like, I don't even understand, because some of these places I don't think actually have proper physical places, where, like, Mile High actually has a store, even though they're mail order, too.
Yeah. So, a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. It's interesting. There was one here in Chicago that was just all mail order, and then they opened a storefront, so they did it in reverse.
That's probably a smart way to do it.
I guess. I don't know.
Make sure your business is profitable before you actually start spending money on overhead.
Well, that's a... Yeah. That is a thing that has haunted comic stores since they began, is not a lot of them are run like their businesses.
Well, and retail space ain't cheap, you know? I mean, but they, so yeah, I don't know. It's just numbers is what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know how many, like, if, what was it? It was that one of those DC specials recently, right? That was the one that broke over like 100, and I don't even remember the number. It was 100-something thousand, right?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't pay attention to numbers. I barely pay attention to our numbers.
Well, I'm just I'm just throwing this out there just kind of as a spitball guess thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it sells through, and of course, you know, in our market, when the numbers, when we talk about numbers, we're talking about numbers that are actually sold to a shop. They're not returnable. Unless they're late for some reason or whatever. Typically, they're not returnable. So that means shops had to kind of guess what they could actually sell. Well, and again, this is, I don't know, when you see the numbers, the sales reports, you know, like online, is that even taken into account, like the online retailers and Amazon and stuff like that, or is that just numbers shipped to shops?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I see. So there's a lot of variables going on here that I don't know have the information for off the top of my head.
Well, imagine what the know-it-alls online don't know.
But anyway, the reason I'm bringing up these numbers is, so say, let's just give it a number. Let's say 125,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in 1980 something was like a third of what a top comic was doing.
Yeah.
In 1990 something, it was probably less than a quarter. You know. Like when the boom was going on, right? Speculator boom. But for all intents and purposes, 125,000 copies of something being sold today is a really good number for American comics.
Oh, yeah. I just tweeted the other day, and this is super true. If everybody that followed me on Twitter bought my comic, you would never hear me complain.
Oh, yeah. Like,
about sales ever. Because I would be doing very well. I've got 20,000 followers.
Right. I mean, a 20,000 issue book, like per month or whatever, a 20,000 sales number is...
That's living comfortably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know like what that would be considered for a corporate as being successful. I mean, they used to cancel books at like 15 and shit.
They used to cancel them, but that has definitely changed. They probably still cancel them. if they go below 20 or something. But
and then they would just fire up another one, like a different one.
Yeah, that's their whole thing, is, you know, new number one, sell, always sell. And that, you know, that's where my, you know, my saying, every series is a miniseries, came from. Because that's true. Every series is a miniseries.
Well, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yes, that I guess that's sort of a plan. And I'm not complaining. I'm just sort of just telling some what I like to call the cold dick slap of reality.
Well, and we've been seeing more of that happening lately too, where creators actually get into numbers of like what their projects are doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's valuable information to know, because for one thing, that explains somewhat to the layman that really are just armchair quarterback the industry, but they don't actually work in comics or do anything in comics, you know?
Yeah.
But that actually kind of shows them that half of what they're talking about is like just out of their ass, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it applies to a lot more than just comics, you know. If I just said it earlier, if people knew what actually made this stuff sell, they'd all be doing it,
right?
And they're not, you know. They don't know. You know, this is a, you know, honestly, a problem with Tim is that he does sort of think that he knows, but it's proven time and time again that it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like he thinks he can figure out, like, if I make this comic with this character and it has this kind of content and it comes out so-and-so, it'll work. And then it does it, and he's like, oh, nobody likes me. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
It's worth noting that the top-selling comics in the direct market are generally, like, you know, 60-year-old properties.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean,
you know, the big exception the being Walking Dead. You know?
Yeah, here's a little dose of reality. The only comics that are never going to have problems selling are Superman and Batman, and Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'll give Spider-Man. And,
and Spider-Man, and the only person that's come in there and said, "Hey, I got something new that's going to sell," is Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
I still say that. He's the only person outside of Marvel and DC that's done it.
And that's not to say that there aren't...
You can do well. You can make a living off of your own character stuff.
Yes,
but
that's what I'm trying to say.
To think that you're going to be the next Robert Kirkman, hey, believe it. It's a lofty goal, but still...
Don't be disappointed when you're not.
Don't be disappointed, because he is seriously the only person that's done it.
And he...
You could make an argument that Brian K. Vaughan did, too, with, like, Saga.
Yeah.
Because Saga does incredible, crazy numbers, too.
Yeah, but it's still not doing Batman, Superman...
But Saga isn't... I was going to say my grandmother, but I don't have any grandmothers. My aunts and uncles don't know what Saga is.
Right.
They know what The Walking Dead is.
Which is, you know, I mean, and that's not unusual, because like in the book, like the prose book market, it's, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, if you've got a book that you've heard of, or, you know, if somebody writes a book that you've heard of, that they must be like Stephen King levels of wealthy or something. Right.
Oh, well, we've been through this before. I've told you that there have been several people back home that think that I'm rich.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's just not true. Like, you can be an author and have a hit-selling book and still not be making that much money.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like that in music, or at least it used to be like that in music. I think it's probably still is with contracts. And it's like that in movies, because, I mean, there have been tons of articles about how, like, the studios run things around through, like, money numbers, money circles.
And
finally, the money people actually make off of it, you know, technically isn't really all that much. Sometimes I think, like, the crew, because they're actually just paid salary, come out better than like, actors and stuff sometimes, you know. But But okay, so and all that's not to say that, you know, if you know, you can't have a good book, like have,
yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not trying to be discouraging. I think you should. I mean, you should want to be the next so and so. Otherwise, why do it? But still.
And I was going to add on to that that, you know, rather than trying to copy a formula of something that's like a 60-year-old property, you know, write something that just you and if that is what you enjoy, then you're going along with what I'm saying. But just write something that you think is good. Like, you know, like it doesn't have to be a Spider-Man clone or a Batman clone or, you know, take, you know, a mixture of this and add this to this and now I've got this. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the superhero market, fuck it. Marvel and DC got it. Let them have it. You know?
All right. This is something that had become a sort of bone of contention between me and Tim about that stuff, because he comes in with that kind of like marketing data all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, humor comics don't sell. And I'm like, well, that's the only kind of comic I want to make, so I guess I'm not going to sell. Still going to do it. You know, it's like, are you, when you do that kind of thing, are you saying don't make them?
Well, I think he's just saying that, you know, you're not really going to make any money off of them.
Yeah.
Or he might be saying that if you want to be successful, don't do them.
Yeah, but he's not.
But the thing is, you know, I would have said that about Walking Dead. I never would have predicted Walking Dead would have gotten as big as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the art was good from the start. The writing's okay. I mean, to me, it was a little spread out, you know, but a lot of people like it, and that's cool. But, like, you know, looking at that book, I would have never thought that that thing would have done as well as it did. Like, it spawned media property. Because it's a zombie book.
Well, not only that, but a copy, basically. I mean, it's just... It's the Living Dead. It's Dawn of the Dead. It is what happens if those movies don't end.
It hit at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit right at the right time because zombies blew up right around then, you know? Mm. It hit at the right time, and it had enough longevity for people to pick it up and take it into other media, which made it blow up, you know, like even further. So that's one of those things, though. That's exactly what I'm saying. I would have, reading the first even like 10 issues of that book, I would have never thought it would have gotten, even had this longevity, for that matter, you know. So if you decide not to write a humor book just because somebody tells you it doesn't sell, well, you know what? It's not going to sell if you don't write it. You know?
I think that's what you put it much more eloquently than I said. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, it's because you don't know. You might be onto something that catches a spirit of something at the time that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
You know? And if not, you know what? Do something else. Like, you know? One bad book, you know, even a string of bad books isn't the end of the world. Not bad books. A string of books that don't sell well, you know?
And I'm like, I don't really want to spend my life making comics that I want to make something that I like, so.
Right. I mean, it's like, because.
I'll try and make it as commercial as I can, but, yeah, I'm not going to tailor my comic.
Yeah, if you get something that you think's a kooky idea, don't disregard it just because you think it's a kooky idea. Like, because, you know, I'm saying this without any kind of, like, sarcasm or anything, you could be the next Robert Kirkman. You don't know.
Might be.
I'm saying that to you as well as anybody else listening, Mike. But,
Thank you.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I am a crotchety southerner.
If you're trying to chase the game, that's all you're ever going to do is just chase the game.
Chase the game. Well, we know too many people that chase the game now. You and I. I think it's kind of sad.
I mean, I don't, you know, it's like... Oh, there was a point I was trying to make at the beginning of this by throwing out numbers, though, so let me say this before I forget. Given a made-up number, like 125,000 copies of something sold, I'm assuming that that's probably 125,000 physical copies sold to shops when we look at those numbers. I don't think that actually... that doesn't break down into 125,000 actual people reading it. you know? I mean, probably, I'm going to guess, maybe, I'm just guessing here, like 70,000 people are actually reading, you know? Some of those people are buying multiple copies, some of those people are, you know, the shops are over-ordering in spots, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So if you're looking at a number like 125,000, you're going, wow, man, the comics, you know, comics industry, you know, it's got so much more life. It's doing better. It's not really, though. You know, I mean, it's selling more on that issue, whatever that issue is, you know. But that doesn't mean there's more readers out there actually buying anything.
I don't know if what we're saying is depressing or encouraging.
I'm not really trying to be either. I'm trying to suss out, like, some ideas. I'm speaking out loud to see how things sound, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess we're talking about two different things here. I mean, the one is a hopeful point, I think, in that, you know, don't just try to follow formulas and numbers to try to make it big, you know? I mean, that's, for one thing, that can work, but it only works if you really know what the fuck you're doing. Like, people who put together boy bands, you know? Like, that level of pop awareness, knowing what you're doing. And also it helps if you've got money to, like, advertise and back it up and shit. If you're trying to do that as an image creator, you know, you might, I don't know. I'm not saying you won't succeed, but it probably, people are going to look at that and go, yeah, that's just sort of, I got Spider-Man over here, so I'm going to go buy that instead. You know?
Yeah.
Like, but again, if it's the superheroes that bring you fucking joy, do it. Just do it. You know? Maybe, I don't know. You know, maybe Marvel will buy you out. Who knows? Probably not, but, you know. Whatever.
I'll buy you out.
I'd rather have a sense of a shelf full of comics that were made because people actually thought they were good than a sense of they were made just because somebody thought they would sell.
Sure.
Right? I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, that's like what you'd see on the shelves, right? Books that people actually thought were good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's sort of a hopeful message to send. Like, I'm trying not to venture into that territory of, you know, follow your dream, or don't just dream it, be it, or whatever, you know?
Well, I think you should, but I just also don't think you should be.
Yay, kids.
I don't think you should be
wow.
Misled by other people's false.
Yeah, I think, I feel like when somebody starts thinking about this in terms of formulas and how to sell something, it starts turning into what was that guy's name, like Matthew Lesko or whatever, you know, those guys that guarantee you're going to make money if you follow their instructions, and all they're trying to do is just sell you a book.
Yep.
You know, kind of thing. Those people that are lecturers but don't actually do what they say they're talking or what they're talking about to make money, the way they make their money is from you listening to them tell you how to make money. And not even that there's an ulterior motive there, but I feel like that's sort of the same circular kind of, like, it just doesn't, you know? I think your best bet, if you want to gain a name and make money off of, like you know, Spider-Man or Batman or some variant thereof, try to go work for Marvel or DC, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, because then you're writing the actual characters you're trying to write versions of instead, you know? And you're guaranteed to have an audience because of who the characters are. So, but I don't know, you know? I mean, yeah. Comics are, they're a complicated business.
They're a complicated man, and no one understands him but his woman.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? Was it last week? Do you remember me telling you that I thought Persephone was pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a litter.
Are you gonna keep the kitten?
I can't. Well, I can't do
you're
anything.
You're gonna keep a kitten. You're gonna keep a kitten.
I can't do anything until they're at least like 5 weeks old, five, 6 weeks old, something like that.
You're gonna take that kitten. You're gonna look for that kitten. You're gonna take all the kitten.
Pretty sure they were born within the last week because they were pretty goddamn small.
You're gonna take a kitten.
And I think they're under 2 weeks because none of them looked like they actually had their eyes open. So
did you bring them in?
No, you can't take them from the mom that quick. And
no, bring them all in so that they can have a nice place to be safe from the elements.
Persephone is at least a second-generation feral. She does not want to be in my house, and she won't let anybody near her.
She will.
Because even when we found where the kittens were stashed, like she panicked and bolted and took off.
Who's we?
Okay, well, yesterday I got a text from my neighbor, my next-door neighbor.
Okay.
And he was asking me if I knew anything. He said he found a little tiny newborn baby kitten in his yard. And he was asking me if I knew anything about it. I'm like, well, I was like, you remember that calico? You know, I think I saw her pregnant last week. I was like, I'll go look along the little wooded brush line in between me and the apartments, and I'll see if I can see anything. So I get out there, and he's poking on the other side of the fence, and I'm looking around on my side of the fence. And I've got this little boxed, fenced-in area that's like a compost area, you know? And right when we both got there, like, Persephone, like, jumped up and bolted out of it, you know, panicked and ran away. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I see something small moving in there. So we poke around a little bit, and we find two more kittens besides the one that he found in his yard. Why that other little kitten was over in his yard, we're not sure.
Save the kitten.
So we,
kitten's home.
We put the third one back in
save
with the other two.
Save the kittens!
And they started...
Save the kittens home!
They started snuggling all over each other, right? So we... I didn't think about this until after. I'm like, well, she might have took it out of the litter because there was something wrong with it. You know? And she might have been taking it over into his yard to get rid of it or something. Or, I don't know, I read later that ferals especially, like, when they have, they move their kittens around a lot, I guess, to keep them from being in one place too long. And getting caught or something, I don't know. So she might have been in the process of moving her kittens when he found that one in his yard, but I don't know. We put, like I said, we put the other one back in there and they were all, like, snuggling around each other and shit. I have no idea if Mama Cat ever came back for him. So, but yeah, you can't separate. Well, I mean, you could. If I wanted to actually take the time to bottle feed them with, you have to get cat milk. You can't feed them cow milk. I read this. Also, I read that when they're like, you know, under 4 weeks old or whatever, when they're that young, you actually have to stimulate them to get them to poop after they eat. Which means what was suggested was using a warm, wet washcloth and rubbing their bottoms underneath their tails, like by their sphincters, to get them to poop. And I'm like, I am not doing that for three cats. Screw that.
Save the kittens! Get them home!
There's a little black and white one, a whitish one, and a little brownish one.
Save the kitten.
And they're,
save them.
Yeah.
Save the kitten.
Well, I'm going to try to capture them, if nothing else, to take them to the SPCA.
Save the kitten!
Take them to the SPCA.
No.
Because we, in this neighborhood, do not need three more feral cats running around. And this will be at least third generation feral, you know. So
save the kitten.
If I could catch Persephone, I'd take her to the SPCA and have her spayed so she wouldn't have any more kittens.
Save the kitten.
But I don't know how to catch her. I thought about doing that, you know, like in the cartoons, doing that like box with a plate full of sardines on it or something, and like in a stick holding it up, and just waiting for her to come and pulling the stick to catch her.
Look up cat traps. They have them.
They actually have cat traps?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe I should. I should just start catching the neighborhood cats and taking them to the shelter or whatever.
Save the Cutans.
But I also read
take them home.
I also read that with adult ferals, though, you if you take them.
Save the Cutans.
That's a great pause.
Yeah,
Mike, you were in my dream last night.
Oh boy.
I hear this a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah, but it's usually followed up with "Get out of my dreams, get into my car."
To my car.
Yeah, you were in my dream last night, and you were you, Sean, and Jenny.
Beautiful.
And you were at wasn't my house, but it was supposed to be my house. And I left the room, and you decided you were gonna fuck with Simon, and you were wrestling with him.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like.
And when I came back in, you were just standing there with this dead look in your eyes. And you opened your mouth and blood just started pouring out of your mouth.
Mm. So he's dreaming.
And I was like, what the hell happened to Mike? And we were all freaking out about it. And Sean was like, oh, Simon got him.
Yeah.
And I got on video. And so then Sean showed me his phone and he showed me a video of you just manhandling Simon. And Simon getting pissed off. And then Simon running away, and you laughing. And then while you're standing there.
That sounds like you, not me.
Then while you're standing there, Simon jumped up from behind and bit you on the neck like a vampire.
He knows that this, what this sounds like, him having a fantasy about his cat killing me.
So then you were like super like upset and like
because I was dead upset.
You barely were responding, and then we had to take you to the hospital, and then it became like this awful trauma thing of waiting at the hospital for you, but you survived. And then I remember hugging you and saying I'm sorry that happened to you.
Wow, your dreams keep going until they get boring.
Yeah, well, that was the dream. That was one of those. My wife gets up and goes to work, and then I'm still sort of awake while dreaming. You know, that lucid dreaming?
Right.
Sorry that happened to you, Mike.
It's weird that I got killed for a thing that you do, not me.
That I do?
Roughhousing with your cat? Yes, I've witnessed it about a million times.
Of course, he loves it.
Well, he must not love it. He killed Mike.
He killed me.
He killed Mike. He
killed
Mike
me in your
right.
dream. Which,
right.
You know, I'm not a psychotherapist, but I can tell what this dream means.
You didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Mike.
I think in my head I was just combining the movies that you watched with you.
That was from Mutant, starring Wings Hauser and Bo Hopkins.
Wings living right.
Oh, I thought you were doing the Quato impression.
Mike! It's a shout whisper.
A shout whisper, yes. It is a shout whisper.
Mike!
How many times do you think they say the name Mike in the Phantasm series? All movies combined. Over 200?
Well, no. I'm gonna say no.
Reggie says Mike, and then
I'm gonna say no
Jody
because there's not a lot of dialogue in those movies until the later.
Is saying people's names.
Is it?
Yes, they're always saying each other's names.
I don't think it's 200 within the form of five. Is it five? Five movies.
Five movies.
Yeah, I don't think it's 200.
Which name do you think they say the most? Jody, Reggie, or Mike? I bet it's.
They don't say Reggie. I think it's gonna be Michael.
I think it's Michael because yeah. I think they're always talking about him in the past tense, and then he's always reappearing, and they get to talk about him again.
Because I feel like
boy,
first one they don't say Reggie's name a whole lot.
Boy is not. I mean, boy is the catchphrase, and it's definitely said, you know, once or twice per movie, but. The talk about Mike and Michael is a little excessive.
Well, Ryan, I don't know what you expect, Ryan.
I don't know. Sorry, you guys can continue your show.
What are we talking about? Oh,
save the kitties!
Take her home!
What's that?
Crank has kittens that he won't save or protect.
What? Maybe my dream was really you, Crank.
He just wants to leave them out in the elements and let them die.
My dream was really about him. Mm-hmm.
They are feral.
Holy shit.
They're not feral if you take them in.
Well, Simon was completely feral. That's why he was a crazed lunatic.
Oh, well, don't listen to his example.
Well, if he was an adult feral when you got him, you're lucky you were able to get him even the same as
no,
he is.
No, he's a kitten.
Oh, well, kittens supposedly...
He was a kitten, but there were, like, for the first, like, 3 years, he was only tolerable when he was asleep.
It's nurture, not nature, baby.
Because he would just... Well, now he's great.
But he bit Mick on.
I don't think any of Simon's problems have to do with him coming from a feral family.
Why?
I think because one, half of them are medical problems. Two, that's not something you have unless you're actively feral.
Yeah. Well, he has. He didn't develop right.
I mean, he could be really inbred.
He's a super run.
Super inbred, that's what cats do. Animals do that.
Yeah, and that's...
You don't worry about inbred with cats.
I'm saying, but the more inbred a line of anything is, the more, like, defects it's going to have, you know?
Yeah, I guess so, but it's not something most people worry about with the ye olde.
Ah.
Kitties. Save the cat! Take it home.
You have to save that kitten.
I mean, I did read that if you can get the kittens at the right time and start socializing them, you can keep them from developing feral. But for adults, it's a lost cause, and usually if you take those to a shelter, they'll either try to spay them and re-release them, or they'll just euthanize them.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you ever again if you get that cat euthanized.
Well, we spent years trying to break Simon of his wild ways, and it never worked. But now, as a almost 9-year-old, he is a sweet, wonderful man. So, age sorts it all out.
Eventually they just get too old?
Yeah, I don't know. He still sprints around our house like a goddamn lunatic.
Last time I was there, he attacked a man.
Yeah, he likes to play with people. And he's scared of cats.
So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of it just depends on if I can keep track of their whereabouts. Because if she goes shifting them around, I don't know where they're at. And if I could catch her, I'd go ahead and catch her and them all at once. And then just keep her boxed up in the garage for a while or something. But
that's what I'm saying. You keep put her in the garage so she'll be protected from the elements with her babies.
Have you ever tried to catch a feral cat, Mike?
Yeah. I've captured and given away like 3 dumpster baby cats.
I don't. How feral were they? Are you sure they weren't strays that were used to being around people?
Well, they were definitely strays.
Because I mean, ferals—they straight up run when you get like within 5 feet of them. You know.
Well, their mom was like that. That's true.
Oh, you're talking about just picking up babies and giving them to people.
Well, they weren't babies.
That's a lot different than trying to catch an adult, man.
You can do it. You're just trying to come up with excuses not to.
No, she is going to be tough to catch, unless I can figure out something. I don't know.
Lasso. Little lasso.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
Look it up right now. Look it up. They make those... I mean, because we were going to do it for the alley cats we have.
Well, you can get one of those fucking evil, like, metal rods with the rope that you pull the end and tightens the rope thing.
No, you can't get close enough.
Sure you can. Those things are fucking long.
Huh, there's a thing called a feral cat rescue kit.
Yeah.
Which is essentially a raccoon trap.
If you want to move those cats, you just get a really fucking heavy duty blanket and you throw it like a net at them. And then you jump on them.
Don't listen to
them. You smother them and you wrap them up in it.
He does not know what he's talking about.
That is how you take care of cats.
That's why his cat attacks people. He throws blankets on top of his cat. That cat thinks everybody is an enemy. That's why.
He's
grown up thinking.
How do you think you know everything about my cat? You spend so little time.
Every every person is potentially someone that's going to grab him by his face and throw him around the house and say, "Isn't this so fun, Simon? Don't you love this, Simon?"
So, okay, this feral cat trap is essentially just a trap, you know, like a regular wire trap.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you how to actually
You might catch a raccoon accidentally.
That's what I'm saying. If I put this out here,
you might.
It's going to catch a possum.
Then you get a raccoon.
Yeah, that's even better.
That's even better than a cat.
Yeah, that's so much better than a cat. A raccoon. Yeah.
Come on, man.
The problem is, I guess you put food in there and try to trick them into coming into it?
Yeah, that's usually how traps work.
Like plate of chicken or something? Like,
oh, come on, stop it.
Dead fish? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I wish I would have got her when she was a kitten. Then I could have socialized her and had a pretty calico cat.
You had a chance.
And then I wouldn't have to worry about a new litter of kittens running around.
I noticed how you ignored what I just said.
Anyway.
And you said the same thing then, too.
Well, by the time I figured that it was safe to actually get them, they were, like, sketchy enough that they were running away anytime you get close to them. Now I got a better idea of when these kittens were born. So
just say you don't want a cat.
Well, I don't want a cat, Mike.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how to keep these cats from making more cats.
But that's responsible of you.
And running roughshod over the neighborhood, you know? And pooping all over my yard, stuff like that.
Do they?
I've had a lot of cat poop in the yard since more of them have shown up in the past couple of years. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of poop in my yard, and it's not my dogs. And I want to know where that came from.
Could be cat poop.
It could be.
Yeah. Very well could be cat poop, Mike.
Because at first it started driving me crazy. Like, am I not seeing it when my own dogs poop in the yard? I thought I was going crazy.
Do you guys get... I'm trying to remember. Like, around that area, do you get raccoons?
I'm sure we do. I haven't seen any, but they're probably...
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, raccoons are big enough that their poops are probably pretty visible, but I'm not sure what a raccoon poop looks like.
I feel like I've seen a raccoon in this neighborhood, but I don't know.
So that's probably cats, then. I mean, dogs. I doubt dogs get into your yard at night. Stray dogs? Like, just dogs wandering around?
Mm-hmm. In my yard?
Yeah.
Well, there's a gate there, so they can't.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think, like, dogs seem like they're too big.
It'd have to be like a cat or a rat or a big-ass rat.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Or a raccoon.
There are some giant-ass rats.
Or foxes. It's foxes.
Oh, you get foxes around there?
No.
Oh. Well, then it can't be a fox, Mike. Coyote?
It's a coyote.
You've got coyotes pooping in your yard, Mike. I think you need to get Simon over there and take care of that.
I think it is. Is Simon coming into my yard? Ryan's not talking to us now. He's upset with us.
Is he upset with me?
I don't know.
Ryan, what did I do?
He's not talking to us. We hurt his feelings.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. Anyway. That's what's going on around here. Nothing new with the pond.
Nothing new with the pond.
Yeah. Just kittens. Oh, and the crabgrass is coming up, so I gotta take care of that. Yeah. Oh, and my mole problem's gotten worse. Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why are you talking about this? Mole problem. Yeah. The feral cats aren't taking care of your moles?
They were just born. How are they going to take care of the moles?
Well, what? I meant the mom.
I guess not, because, we got moles. I don't know. Stupid moles. Morley. Gosh, what else is new? We talked about comics this week.
A little bit.
So I'm rereading Batman Dark Knight Returns. It's been a while since I read that, and I picked up a cheap copy when I was buying books a week or two ago. And I'd forgotten how funny Alfred is in that book.
I don't remember that.
He's just he's basically bitching out Bruce, making funny jokes at him and shit.
Really?
Yeah. Talking about if he wants to commit suicide, there's an old family potion, takes a long time and really painful. And he made some sort of quip.
It has been a while since I've read that.
It's really dense. I forgot how dense it was. There is a lot of information being presented to you in this book. Because it's got a lot of, it cuts to a lot of those newscast talking head kind of scenes. Where it's a bunch of
I do remember that about that.
Bunches of small panels with lots of dialogue and stuff like that. I think it's still entertaining, It still holds up. Is that the right word? Phrase. But anyway. Oh, and I also read Will Eisner's Last Day in Vietnam. Wow.
That book?
No. Wow, that high note.
The what?
That high note.
Oh, lady next door.
I can't even do it. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Last Day in Vietnam. Yeah. Which is, it's typically Eisner-y good. It's a bunch of snippets of just sort of memories of different camps he went to inspect when he was making instructional comics for the Army or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's got a couple of stories in Vietnam and one in Korea. It's like four stories or something like that. And a couple of them are funny and a couple of them are sad kind of thing, yeah. But it's just that's weird because I didn't realize that was so late. That was 99, 2000 when that came out, Eisner was already such an old dude by then. Guy loved making comics though. Man.
Indeed. Lucky for us.
That was good. I like it. I like, I said last week I keep adding little by little to my Eisner library. Eventually I guess I'll start picking up the Spirit stuff, but mostly I've been reading his, I guess it's autobiographical stuff, But good times. Good stuff. I dig it. What have you been up to since last week?
Me?
What'd you do over the weekend?
Nothing.
Okay.
I can't remember. I didn't do anything.
All right.
I think I worked, but I don't also think I didn't work. Yeah. I went to the grocery store. That's not fun.
Oh, they actually do make drop traps for cats. I always thought that was just a cartoon thing. The kind of with the, basically it's a box on a stick, and you pull the stick out.
Yeah, that's the ones that I've seen, yeah.
The ones I was talking about before are those kind where they walk into them and press down the spring door, and then when they get through it, the spring door closes behind them and they can't get back out, you know? But I guarantee I'd wind up catching a possum or something instead.
Well, how much do you want to help?
It might be easier just to keep an eye on where the kittens are and just catch them and deal with Persephone separately.
You've given her a name.
Well, it's easier than just saying that cat when there's like 20 of them. Yeah. Not that there's 20 of them. There's probably like 8 that I've seen around that are still regular.
Give that cat a home.
Lots of stray cats, man.
Give all of them a home. I've been in your house. There's not much in there. You can give them cats a home.
Yeah, could you see me living with 3 cats? Christ.
My buddy Ron has like 5. Jim Terry has like 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been in a house that had a lot of cats that didn't smell.
Oh, right.
Like cat. Like,
he does it.
I mean, I'm sure it can be done.
He doesn't have a smelly house.
I mean, I'm sure it can be done. I'm not saying it can't be, but like, it seems like whenever I've been someplace that's had like, you know, a handful or more of cats, it's you smell like the, well, besides litter box smells and stuff like that, I mean, there's like that musk smell and that whatever, you know, like the cat pee and stuff like that. It's like, man, there used to be this shop here in Cincinnati called Trivet's that was like, I don't know what it started out, I guess, as just sort of a modern, like, hipster clothing store back in the 60s-ish or something like that, I think. Or at least that's what it was supposed to be in the 60s. It might have been around before that, but like in the 60s, it was like a modern clothing store for like young people and into the 70s and stuff like that. And then after a while, they just they would still pick up new stock, but they still had tons and tons of leftover stock that they hung on to. But then they started selling it as retro clothing, like later into the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. So you go in there and like, you know, I was in there in the 90s. You go in there and you'd find like mint pairs of 5-inch high platform boots and like with stars sewn into them and stuff like that, you know, like sparkles and stuff like that. Really weird, like 60s, 70s kooky clothes. But the store, in addition to the features of finding like old rock shirts and stuff like that, which was cool, and finding weird old clothes or like buttons and stickers and just all kinds of crap pins, the store kept store cats, you know. A couple of them, I think. And you walk into that place and just it smelled like cat pee. Everything smelled like cat pee. And it was like, that's like, besides finding neat stuff, that's like one of my biggest memories of this place. Is it stank. You know?
Yeah.
But, that's what I'm saying. Like, any place I've ever, it seems like any place I've ever been to. Maybe I'm just always conflating it with that particular store and that smell, but. No, because there was a lady I knew who, they kept outdoor cats, but they didn't spay them for some reason or neuter them. So they had, like, always had litters of kittens around. And so they, I mean, they had, like, 20 cats around. Sometimes they go in and out of the house and stuff like that. And, yeah, that house smelled pretty, like, rank, as I recall. I guess cats just do if they get in the groups or something. I don't know. What was my point? Oh, yeah, I can't see me living with a whole bunch of cats.
I can't see me living with a bunch of cats.
Especially if they're crazy, because cats like to do that thing where they just jump from thing to thing and run around in circles in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I got, like, you got to rearrange your whole life for that. I don't know. Anyway. What up?
Nothing, man.
What's the most memorable movie you've watched in the last week, Mike?
Last week?
And within this last week, since last we talked.
Yeah. Let me look.
I lost.
You lost what?
I was trying to find the place that I go to look up what's new in comic books this week, but it looks like I lost my bookmark.
We recorded Wednesday. So we talked about Wishman.
Oh, I went and watched that.
Yeah, you liked it.
I thought it wasn't terrible.
Well, I knew you would like it.
And it was really nice to see Brian James as a good guy.
It is nice to see him as a good guy.
Well, because, you know, he probably rightfully so with his looks and his gruff voice and stuff, but he got, like, you know, typecast as a always a thug or a bad guy or whatever, you know.
Well, it's kind of scary.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's people that just, that's where they fall into, you know.
Well, I know. All right. I would say probably I saw the smudging and I didn't like that, but Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hyde was pretty insane.
Insane how?
Well, it's a comedy. It came out in 1980. And it's a comedy. It's a play on the Jekyll and Hyde thing, right?
Right.
Except it's a twist. It's a turn. It's the opposite. He's ugly as Dr. Jekyll. And then when he takes the formula, he becomes handsome. I air quote handsome because he's just Oliver Reed. And I don't get why Oliver Reed is supposed to be really handsome, because he looks like the Hulk. And it's just, it's bizarre looking. It looks like it was made in the 60s. It doesn't look like it was 1980.
Huh.
And it takes place in New Texaco? San Texaco? I don't think that's a real place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is that a...
And the police cars are pink?
Okay.
So, I mean, look, just the visual style, it looks like a Tim Burton movie or something. This is 1980.
Huh.
So, it was pretty bizarre. That was probably my favorite.
Huh.
But I haven't seen many since last week.
Well, I'm trying to think. I thought I had something that I could recommend to you as being in your wheelhouse. There's a comedy called Girls of Summer about softball. Supermodels making a softball team.
Really?
This guy is like a hotshot, you know, local softball player, and he makes a bet with his arch rival that he could beat him with a team full of supermodels, and then his cousin happens to be an ex-supermodel. Not supermodel, sorry, model.
When was this made?
It's fairly new, I think, I mean, relatively speaking. It was 2008. And so then he, you know, goes on to try to coach all these girls to become a successful, like, softball team so he can win this bet. Yeah. And it's not terrible for being like a low budgety kind of deal. I was expecting something to be a lot worse, but as far as like just goofy comedies goes, it was all right. The reviews aren't very good, but it's only an hour and 20 minutes. So it's not that long. And there was another one, though, that I'm trying to find it. I mean, I watched some decent stuff that probably just it wouldn't interest you. Like,
interest me?
I'm probably not, I'm thinking.
Because it was good?
No, just like, I don't think it's like anything you'd care about. There was this one called Weaver Fish. Yeah, it's just like independent. It sounded like New Zealand or something like that, like the accents. But it's about this group of teens that break into this like cordoned off area that got closed down when they were kids, and they don't know why. But they finally found a way back into it, and that's where they used to party. So they go party there, and of course something terrible happens to them. But it's got an interesting ending. And it's as much of a drama as it is a horror kind of thing. But I'm not sure, like, it'd be your kind of thing. Like, because it's sort of slow and stuff like that, you know? Like,
well, I mean, my only criteria is that I can draw while I watch it, so slow doesn't necessarily...
Well, you might. I mean, you might. It's a decent movie. It's called Weaverfish. Like, W-E-A-V-E-R.
And it was made recently?
Fairly recently. It was, let me look it up. Might be this year. Well, it's listed as this year, but it's always hard to tell with Amazon stuff. Because I watched another movie called Search for Atlantis or something like that was a late 70s, early 80s movie that they labeled as being 2018 or 2019.
Yeah, I saw that on there.
Yeah, it's got Sid Haig in it.
Yeah, I started it but waited. I was like, no, I'm going to wait some other time to watch this.
It wasn't... That one's another one of those ones that's just really super predictable and slow. I mean, stuff happens, but it's like... You get to the end, and it's like, wasn't really worth it. It wasn't so bad that I turned it off, but it wasn't so great either. Although it's got a funny ending to it, I think. But, and then yeah, so it's I don't know, Amazon. I wish they'd improve some aspects of their viewing. Well, for one thing, like, I wish they'd vet their dates more, you know? Like, I don't understand why the dates are wrong and stuff. It's just, I mean, obviously it's somebody just putting them in wrong or whatever, but like, but also, their watch list is just so unwieldy, you know? I wish they'd do things like let you be able to, like, group them into, like, your own kind of genres or lists or something, you know? Like, that way I can make a list that has nothing but, like, you know, the films I add that are subtitled, so I know that those are separate and I need to watch those when I'm not working, kind of thing, or whatever, you know. But they just, you can only sort like two ways with them, and it's pretty crappy either way. So I watched this really terrible one from, I think it was the 80s, it was 87, it was called Beaks.
Yeah, Beaks, Christopher Atkinson.
I don't really know.
Chris Crack.
Yeah, I don't really know anybody that was in it. Who was he?
There were only two people in the Blue Lagoon. It was him and Brooke Shields. So.
Oh, that was him. You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he looked
also
familiar.
Also, the pirate movie with Christine McNichol.
I thought he looked familiar, but I didn't bother to look him up. Yeah. Yeah, Beaks was ridiculously terrible.
Like the old man that's trying to kill all the birds. Fucking birds.
It's just like and the kids party scene.
They take his eye, right? He has an eye. They take his eye out.
It's something like that, yeah. Like, because I remember seeing the like he looks up and his eyes all just like filled with blood or whatever.
Fuck you, birds.
But like all these.
He didn't like the birds to begin with.
Well, no. I mean, to be fair, they were bothering the party. But
yeah.
It was just funny because, like, anytime in these birds attack scenes, it looked like somebody was just literally off screen throwing birds at people.
Because they probably were.
Yeah, that's the only way.
1979 or something, right?
How else are they going to direct the birds to actually go towards somebody? But it was just, that is a hilariously bad movie. There was, yeah, one other one I think that I thought you might like, if I can find it. Oh, okay, so this one was not terrible. I mean, it's really not well done terribly. I don't know how to... It's called Death Walks.
Oh, okay.
And it was made a few years ago, 2016, and... It was a community project, this place in England. I don't remember the community, what it was, but they their thing was that they made it without actually having to spend any money on it. So it was all, like, volunteer actors and stuff, and I guess they got the local mall to donate their time. Because it mostly all takes place in this mall, like in the quarters and after hours and stuff like that. And it's, I guess, sort of a zombie movie. That's the impression you get. It's sort of a zombie movie, and I don't want to say any more than that because there's like it does a few things that I don't want to spoil. Given what it is, I thought it was pretty interesting actually. Like, not a terrible story, and considering it was just all put together on the fly, it's another one of those things where I'm going like, huh, we could make a movie. Yeah. That is if Ryan ever talks to us again.
What?
You know.
What about not talking?
So that's if Ryan ever talks to us again. We can make a movie.
Oh. Well, I said I don't want to make a movie. You guys can make the movie.
I can if you won't talk to me.
Well, I mean, he's not talking to me. He can talk to you.
You don't know who he's talking to.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, I was the one that said something about Simon.
The last one's a movie called Dead Sexy.
Dead Sexy.
Yeah, it says it's from 2018. And it's very trauma-esque. It's a comedy about these girls that work at a place called the Pirate Booty. And okay. One of them is staying in her dead aunt's house to watch it to keep it occupied before it sells. And she invites her girlfriends from work to come over and stay with her for the couple of months or whatever, you know. And it turns out there's a sexy ghost that lives there.
Okay. I like this one. What's it called? Dead Sexy?
Dead Sexy.
When was it made?
It says 2018. And
I'm not interested that much in that.
It does seem fairly new. So, but yeah, it's got a sexy ghost. And it's straight up a comedy, but you know. It wasn't the funniest thing. I did actually laugh at parts of it, though. It was kind of funny.
I laugh at stupid shit all the time, but I still know it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like, high art, but it
was... It's not high art.
You know, it was definitely a thing.
That was a thing.
Yeah. It was a thing that happened, and I saw it. Yeah. Well, then, of course, I watched another Dean Cain movie I hadn't seen. So.
Another Dean Cain movie I haven't seen. Which, I mean, that could be most Dean Cain movies, right?
Surprisingly, I think I've probably seen more than half of the Dean Cain movies at this point.
No, that's not true.
I mean, the guy's made a lot of movies, but I think I've probably seen more than half of them, yeah. Because he's Dean Cain. Come on. Why not? He plays dead Dean Cain in this movie.
Dead Dean Cain?
Yeah, he's a zombie.
Zombie Cain?
Sort of. He's a super zombie soldier. And he has to go hunt down other super zombie soldiers.
Oh, really?
And it's called Dead and Deader.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was that was a thing that happened
to him. Does he look like a zombie?
He's got this weird-ass haircut in this movie. It's from the early, late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is another one of those ones that's listed as 2018 and it's not.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dead. No, wait a minute. Sorry, I clicked on the wrong thing, actually. But anyway, it's 2007 is when it was. Yeah. Late 2000s. But he's got this weird haircut and, like, that's kind of bleached on top and stuff.
Oh, he's got frosted tips.
Well, more than frosted tips. It's that kind of thing where it's, like, just the top tuft of it's bleached, but it's still darker on the sides. And then they kind of make him sort of, yellow through the whole thing. Yellowish, like, you know, like corpsey looking, I guess.
Jaundice?
Jaundice, sort of, yeah. Maybe he just was jaundiced, I don't know.
He has sickle cell. He does, he's not a zombie.
He's a super sickle cell soldier.
Super sickle cell soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh,
He has to go seek other super sickle cell soldiers. Surprising.
He's got to kill them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has to kill them all, in fact. He says that several times.
Got to kill them all.
And him and his two sidekicks.
Are they also dead?
No, they're alive.
Why does he need sidekicks?
Well, one of them, he explains that he couldn't leave him behind. It's his cook, because he's in the army, right?
Uh-huh.
And they take him back to the base. He was on this... Okay, back up.
Don't tell me the whole story.
I'm not, but I'm trying to give you enough so I can explain this in such a way. Okay, so his team was on a mission. They get ambushed by these things. He gets sent back to base. They pronounce him dead. On the autopsy table, he gets up and says, "I'm not dead." And they're all
so there's not like a formula or nothing that saved him?
No, it's radioactive scorpions.
Really?
They burrow into your body and then join to your heart and make you a super sickle cell soldier.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're not like from the government or outer space or nothing? Are they from the government?
You know,
Southern.
That point's kind of confused to me. I'm not sure if they were from the government.
They don't tell you?
Well, I know there was this bad guy doctor that was trying to get to them because he wanted them to make him immortal.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if the government actually made them or not, or if they were something discovered deep in the jungle.
You got to run through the jungle.
I'm not sure why there were radioactive scorpions in the jungle. And I think they were radioactive because they were glowing.
That's a pretty good sign of it.
That's what I thought. But maybe they weren't radioactive. I don't know.
Let's go with radioactive.
So, okay, he's on the base. Turns out another one of his teammates was also there and didn't get destroyed or whatever. And so it wakes up and starts cornering.
He's got to destroy them all.
Right. But this one's dumber because Dean Cain stopped the scorpion from joining with his heart by cutting it out of his arm.
Oh.
So he only got partially deaded.
Oh, he's...
So he's half sickle-celled? Yeah, anyway... So the bad zombie dude, is going around biting people, turning them into the next generation zombie dudes, which are even dumber. And so he's going after this cook, and Dean Cain saves the cook from him, and the cook's a wacky dude. He's like that, what's that movie with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker? He's like the Chris Tucker. He's the Chris Tucker cook. And so he Dean Cain's like, I can't just leave him there. He's goofy, so he takes him with him when they break out.
Does he say that? Does he say, I can't just leave him? He's goofy.
Well, something like that. I think he says, I can't just leave him. Look at him.
Mm.
Something like that. And then, so.
Awfully nice of him.
Yeah. He takes him with him and they go on the road and then they pick up a third person. The lead actress. They pick her up at a bar. And then zombies attack the bar and kill everybody else in there, and then they escape. And then they hit the road, and then it's like that, man. Eventually, Dean Cain winds up dressing like Don Johnson in Miami Vice. The Chris Tucker Cook character winds up dressing in a Michael Jackson jacket. Oh, and the entire time, the leading actress and Dean Cain are trading horror movie trivia quips and stuff like that, and making pop culture references to each other.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was Dead and Deader.
Yeah, you really did tell me everything about that movie.
Oh, I didn't give away the ending.
Oh, okay. There's a surprise ending?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I think they were trying to set this up to have more movies or maybe a TV show. Maybe a TV show, I'm thinking, because... They do allude at the end that he's going to become like a superhero.
You can only see this on Redbox. I don't know how they were trying to make a sequel to it.
It was a Starz movie. I think.
No, it wasn't. Starz?
I think it was a Starz original. Like,
Starz makes movies like that?
I guess they were in 2000-something. You gotta remember, 2007 zombies were still pretty big.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think it was a Starz movie. I might have been getting that mixed up with another one of the movies I watched.
Sci-Fi Channel, maybe.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Starz. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that.
Good to know.
Right? That's what I thought, too. Anyway, all right, so. Hey, we got our movie talk out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. do we have an email? Like,
I'll look.
I would appreciate that.
We haven't had it much lately.
Well, there's only so much people can write in to talk about to us.
Yeah, there's none.
Hey, Ryan, you want to do a baseball minute?
What?
Hey, he's talking to me.
What'd you say?
I said, do you want to do a baseball minute?
No. Nothing that interesting.
Okay.
Oh, David Ortiz was shot. That was interesting.
What was shot?
Big Poppy. You know who that is?
No.
They throw for the Boston Red Sox for like 15 years.
Okay.
Someone shot him in the back.
Oh.
He retired like 2 years ago. So that was strange. In the Dominican Republic, and then the Red Sox did one surgery there, and the Red Sox said, fuck this, you're coming to Boston. And using our fancy, high-end surgeons, and he had a second surgery. And I guess he's going to survive and be all right. It's not every day a baseball player gets shot in the back.
Especially, why would you shoot a retired baseball player in the back?
Well,
fucking try and rob him of all his billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
The Dominican Republic kills a lot of famous people.
It's nice that the
we're
team.
We're at a pace right now of one baseball player per year either being killed in a traffic accident in Venezuela or being kidnapped.
Huh.
Because that happens a lot. Baseball players are under constant threat of being kidnapped. They're from Venezuela and they go back home over the winter.
You know,
a couple years ago, there was some catcher that had to pay the kidnappers to get them back.
Not just soccer players anymore.
You know, actually, that makes a certain sort of sense. Like, if you're going to kidnap somebody who's, like...
The person you know has a lot of money, yeah.
Well, not just them having a lot of money, but the team's got a lot invested in them, right? Because they need that person to make more money, right? So that definitely has some logic to it.
You love.
Okay. Hey.
That's weird. Weird he's not talking to us.
He talked to me. So yeah, in stores this week, Grumble number 7, looks like it's in stores.
Yeah, get it. Buy it.
Grumble
love
number
it.
7. We recently saw colors for number 9, so we're pretty far ahead.
No. I love our book. Please buy it. I wish you'd buy it more.
Please buy our product.
Buy our product. Try our product. Prop up.
Prop up.
Try our product.
Prop up. Prop up.
Please try our product.
Also out from Albatross this week is Mega Ghost number 5. The 5.
Mega Ghost.
Albatross is...
I haven't read it, but Jim says it's amazing.
Jim...
Jim is a big fan of Mega Ghost.
Jim Terry?
Yep.
Okay. I'm strolling through stuff. Oh, that's nice. There's a new Garfield book out. We like Garfield, right?
Sure. I used to as a kid.
You heard of a company called Danger Zone?
No.
I haven't either, but they got a bunch of books in stores this week. Yeah, they got like 5 books in stores. Some of them are on later issues, even. It's not all new number ones. Or most of them are on later issues. Most impressive new comic company.
Most impressive.
The definitive edition of Moonshadow is in stores this week. I say that just because I really like that. That was one of those things I remember reading in the 90s and going like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah.
It was John J. Muth and Dimitaeus.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually did a re-release of it in the 90s, which is how I read it, because I hadn't heard of it before that. Yeah, I think it was originally an Epic book.
Yeah, sounds right.
If I recall. And then they did a re-release of it on, I think, through Image. Image or Dark Horse? No. Maybe? I don't remember. They did it, but they did do a re-release of it in the 90s. And then I think that was probably right around, concurrent to, or just before he did that Seekers into the Mystery book.
Yeah.
Or that they did, it was actually them together again. John J. Muth and what's his first name? Dimitaeus.
Yes, James. It goes by J.M.
J.M. Okay, yeah, it was initials. Yeah, that's right. Because, yeah, they did that Seekers in the Mystery. I think it was those two that did the Seekers in the Mystery book. Or at least he did the covers. I don't know, whatever. But, yeah, back in the 90s. So, anyway, it's just saying that I enjoyed it, so it's, that's why it's I'm talking about Moonshadow.
You perform in front of people all the time.
Why? Yes, I do.
Yeah, it is true.
Superman books.
Yeah.
Lots of them. Lots of Superman books. All kinds of Superman books. Not really. Right. I mean, no, just a few of them. I thought there was going to be a Dynamite book out in stores this week. I'm trying to remember when the last issues of Stuffer that I was working on with them were coming out. Like the last Barbarella, Deja Thoris, and what was the other thing I was working on before?
Yeah.
I think there was some sort of Hack/ Chaos, but it doesn't look like they're in stores.
Sure.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you reading from Image lately?
I'm not reading anything lately.
Hmm.
Right.
They have a. Well, I was going to say that they have a late week, but I guess not. I mean, it's still like, you know, 10, 12 titles.
Yeah, they put out a lot of stuff now.
Wow. Oh, okay. I was going to say Marvel's having a really super heavy week, but it's mostly because I think a lot of their titles have variants on them, so it looks, the list looks a lot bigger.
Just got to remember, you're an excellent communicator, and...
Kim Reaper Volume 2 Trade Paperback from Oni Press.
Okay.
I lettered that. It's a fun book.
This is not like stand-up.
I'm blanking for some reason.
Because you're being interrupted.
Right. And maybe
I was trying to remember. Oh, it's by Sarah Grayley is what I meant to say. Sorry. It's just a cute, fun book about a part-time Grim Reaper and the girl she dates and her roommate who's a goofy dude.
Goofy dudes?
He's a goofy dude. Maybe not really. Yeah, he's kind of a goofy dude, I guess. And they go to an island full of vampires.
What? Gotta watch out for them goofy dudes.
Grim Reaper versus vampires. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, what does a Grim Reaper do with something that's already been dead, right?
The video game community.
Also, Rick and Morty presents Mr. Meeseeks, number one.
I think board game
is in stores this week, which is another, obviously, Rick and Morty title. It was funny. It's kind of weird to think that I've been lettering Rick and Morty for like 4 years, I think.
Has it really been that long?
We're on issue 50.
Being like,
I just lettered 52. I think 50 was the last one in the store. The big double issue. And that's just a regular series. There have been, a couple of minis and spin-offs and one-shots and stuff like that. Like, 76,
thanks for ruining one of my favorite franchises.
Just kind of like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I guess we can wrap this up. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. Keep an eye out for previews next month, because Battlepug's there. It's real.
Yep.
It's
two covers, one by me, one by Chris Samney.
Oh, I like his cover, too.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Pretty groovy. And then, yeah. I don't know. I guess that's it. We'll see y'all next week. Goodbye.
Yep. Bye.